This is episode number 92 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Welcome to the Fearless Presentations podcast. I'm Doug Stannert, CEO of the Leaders Institute and Fearless Presentations. And this is the podcast that helps people just like you become confident and poised presenters and speakers. This is podcast number 92, and on this week, we're going to continue our series on storytelling and presentations. And so far, we've covered the absolute biggest public speaking secret that helps people reduce nervousness, and that's actually stories. If you missed that one, that was a couple of episodes ago. And then last week, we also gave you a real step-by-step approach to help you be a better storyteller. This week, we're going to focus on how to remember great stories from your experience so that you can insert them into your presentations at will. In fact, in the last 10 minutes of the podcast, I'm going to share with you a way to catalog great stories so that you can remember them. And this particular technique is actually a way to improve morale around the office and that kind of thing as well. So it's a really cool technique that we use here at the Leaders Institute's corporate offices. So the podcast is brought to you by our Fearless Presentations classes. If you really want some valuable one-on-one coaching, there is absolutely no better way to get really good one-on-one public speaking coaching than in a Fearless Presentations class. And we've got classes coming up all over the United States, Canada, Europe in the next couple of months. In fact, the classes that are on the schedule that will be going on about the same time that this podcast is released are pretty much full. I think the Atlanta class that's coming up is full, so there's no more space in it. We've been promoting that for the last couple of weeks. But we do still have some spaces in a few of our classes, so we've got still on schedule. We've got St. Louis, Dallas, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Baltimore, Denver, Orlando, Austin, Portland, Cincinnati, Miami, Boston, Washington, D.C., and Chicago. Those are the ones that are coming up up until the end of October, I think. Also in October, we've got a class coming up in Vienna. So if you're in Europe, that'll be our next European class. And then in November, we're doing classes in London and Dublin. So if you're interested in any of those classes, make sure and go to fearlesspresentations.com. The classes do fill up pretty quickly. And once they're full, we can't accept any more registrations into those programs. You have to get on a waiting list. So make sure and go to fearlesspresentations.com. If I didn't call out your city, then go to our seminar schedule. There's a good chance there's going to be one coming up somewhere close to where you are. It might be a little bit of traveling, but it should be an easy couple of days if you happen to be in a location that I didn't mention in that list. So if you go to fearlesspresentations.com, look for information. All right, so let's get on with today's podcast. So the title of this session is Remember Stories from Your Life in Order to Insert Them into Your Presentations. And this is part three of a three-part series. We talked about how to tell your stories in a speech. So that's the last couple of episodes have been about storytelling and the step-by-step process and why inserting stories into your presentations is so important. But being able to actually remember the stories, especially when you're on when you're put on the spot or if it's a spur of the moment kind of thing, that's where it becomes really challenging. And in fact, a lot of times when I'm presenting in front of a live group, a live audience, a lot of the stories that I have that I tell are stories that I didn't actually prepare. They're ones that as I'm kind of reading the audience and as the presentation starts to unfold and I'm starting to get visual feedback from the group and sometimes verbal feedback from the group, it lets me kind of customize the content that I deliver. And being able to come up with those stories, especially ones on the fly, can be really, really helpful. So we're going to talk about two different things on this podcast. We're going to talk about what happens when you're put on the spot somebody's kind of challenging you, and how to, because we said in a couple of the previous podcasts that when that happens, you really want to start off with an example or a story, because that will diffuse the tension in the situation pretty dramatically and actually help you be more persuasive. And by the way, if you miss that podcast, go back and listen to the one on we actually have a post that was written a couple of years ago on question and answer sessions that can be very helpful. So if you go to fearlesspresentations.com and just type in question and answers or questions and answers, it'll come up in the search. The podcast that I did recently, though, was how to be persuasive, or how to persuade your audience. If you go just do a search on fearlesspresentations.com, that podcast will come up, and you'll be able to listen to that one in entirety just in case you missed it. But let me go. By the way, the second thing that we're going to talk about today is how to really catalog those stories. So when you come across something, or when you experience something that you look at and you go, God, man, that's going to make a good story someday. You know, how to remember to catalog that, and I'll show you the things that I use and how I reinforce it around my office to improve morale. So we'll cover that at the end. So let's start off with the very first part, though, where how do you actually remember those stories, especially when you're put on the spot? So we know that stories are a fantastic way to, they're fantastic evidence anyway, when you insert those into your presentations, and they're also fantastic answers to really, really tough questions. If you have read the blog post that we did on question and answer sessions or on being persuasive, you'll know that one of the things that we kind of reiterate a lot, especially in our classes, is that we like to think that facts are very persuasive, but in reality, human nature makes us want to poke holes in the facts. Once we say that this fact is absolutely true 100% of the time, then human nature kind of kicks in, and folks in the audience are going, well, I can think of at least one situation where that wouldn't be true. So, and that's human nature. So how do we use that to our advantage? Well, one of the ways is to get into a story right away. But when you're put on the spot like that, if somebody interrupts you with a difficult question, or if you have a time crunch and you're trying to design a fairly lengthy presentation and you got a very short time to do it, how do you come up with those stories when time is really precious for us? So there are three challenges that will occur that can make this a little tougher on us when this occurs. The first thing that happens is when we're put on the spot like that, panic just kind of sets in. And when we panic, it's very difficult to think clearly. And then secondly, the negative self-talk, especially if it's accompanied by that panic, will make us feel uncomfortable, even more uncomfortable, when we start out being uncomfortable in the first place. And then finally, and really the most devastating part of the process, is that we will often second guess ourselves constantly during this process. And that's what makes coming up with stories on the fly and on the spot a little bit more challenging for most people. So the key thing to keep in mind about the stories that you tell in a presentation is that the story that you tell doesn't have to be perfect. It does. In fact, you know, that final challenge, that second guessing, it's a fairly simple one to fix if you change your way of thinking about the type of story that you're telling. So it's a simple thing to fix. It's not easy, though, especially when we're put under pressure like that. But mainly, you have to realize that there's no such thing as a perfect story. And second, you have to realize that any story that you tell is much better than no story at all. So if you kind of keep those two things in mind, it makes it a little bit easier. It gives you a little bit of it's a saving grace for you anyway. So even a lame story has more credibility than a mountain of internet research that you're using to prove your bullet point. So I'll give you a good example. So last year I was teaching a class on how to create a persuasive speech and it was a really challenging audience. And in the last 20 years as a coach, I've been able to kind of pick up on visual cues from participants when they're struggling. And as one of the class members was attempting to use the technique that I was teaching, I saw her kind of shaking her head. Now, when she was shaking her head, she was shaking it back and forth like a person does when he or she is saying no, you know, that little subtle kind of shaking back and head. And I saw that, and as soon as I saw it, because I've recognized that behavior that occurs with an internal monologue before, I kind of stopped her really quick, and I said, hey, I said, you just thought of a great story, but you talked yourself out of it. And you probably talked yourself out of it, saying because you think it's not good enough, right? So just out of curiosity, what was that story about? Tell me what it was about. And all I did was just kind of created a dialogue with her. And the interesting thing was is that she spent the next couple of minutes really captivating the entire group with a really funny and self-deprecating story. It was one of those lesson learned stories, you know, where they're, oh man, I'm never going to do that again. And after she finished telling the story, I said, now you talked yourself out of telling that story. Now why? So she replied by saying that she just thought it might be embarrassing. And one of her classmates immediately responded by saying, what, you didn't want us to realize that you were human? You know, and he kind of said it in a joking way and everybody kind of chuckled. And just like in that case, though, most often our initial response is correct. It's usually the second guessing that actually causes embarrassment, because that story worked great as a teaching tool for the other folks that were in the class. The other thing that you want to keep in mind about the way that your brain works is that your brain is a fantastic hard drive with impeccable recall. So you really have to trust yourself. Your brain has an amazing capacity to remember stories from your life. You just have to trust yourself a little bit more, because your brain's not going to lead you wrong, right? So this hard drive is flawless, by the way. I mean, the problem occurs with the filters. So the brain has a tremendous number of filters that keeps important things at the front of our brain that are easy to recall. And if the brain didn't have these filters, by the way, then we'd all be schizophrenics. So the most important thing to remember, pun intended, is that whatever you tell your brain will be the truth. So that, for instance, if you tell yourself, I'm just not a good storyteller, guess what? You're going to be right. Or if you tell yourself, I can never think of really good stories, then guess what? You're going to be right. So whatever you tell your brain is what you're going to end up with. However, the opposite is true as well. So if you tell yourself, oh, I've got the perfect story for this bullet point as you're designing your speech, then an image is going to pop into your mind almost immediately, and that image is going to represent a story from your experience. It's going to be one of those things that you experienced that was very similar to the bullet point that you're trying to get across. And incidentally, when we come up with these bullet points, a lot of times the way that we come up with the bullet points is we're thinking, ah, gosh, so if I were to teach somebody how to do this, what would be the most important thing? And those bullet points almost always come from our experience. It's not like we just pull them out of the blue. It's from our experience. So if you have a really good bullet point, there's a good chance you're going to have a at least one, or probably multiple, corresponding really good stories. So you just have to pay attention to your brain and tell your brain that, hey, I've got a great story for this one, and all of a sudden it will happen. So let's just try it real quick. I'm just going to say something in the next couple seconds that has nothing to do with the podcast. Just a totally random topic or statement. And all I want you to do is immediately after I say this thing, I'm going to pause for a second, and I want you to think, oh, I got a great story for that. So that's all you have to do. That's the only thing you have to do in the next couple of seconds, just to kind of see if this works, is just to say, oh, I got a great story for that. So you can kind of practice that now if you want to. Oh, I got a great story for that. Oh, I got a great story for that. All right, so here's the statement. I'm just going to read the statement. I'm going to pause for a second, let you say, oh, I got a great story for that. So the statement is, if you pay attention to deadlines, you're going to save yourself a lot of frustration. Oh, I've got a perfect example of this, or I got a perfect story for this. And there's a good chance that after you say that, so thinking about deadlines and how missing deadlines can lead to frustration, or not paying attention to those deadlines can lead to frustration, there's a good chance that as I kind of said that, or as you were thinking anyway, oh, I got the perfect story for that, that an image popped in your head of some time from your own life where you either had to come right upon a deadline and had to work your butt off at the end, and it was a lot of really stressful kind of moment at the end to try to get that project completed by the deadline, or a time that you didn't pay attention to the deadline and you missed it for some one reason or another. But that happens. I mean, basically, all you have to do is just tell your brain that you've got a good story, and a lot of times you'll remember a really good one. Okay, so that's part one of the podcast is, you know, basically retraining your brain to come up with stories on the fly. That's not the only way that you can insert stories into your presentation. The technique that I'm going to share with you now was one that I learned. I learned very early in my career that how to use the technique that I just mentioned, where, you know, I can come up with stories on the fly, and a lot of times they're really good. And even if not perfect, they're better than not telling a story at all. So I got really good at it, especially when I went into sales for the first time. So I was in the oil business for the first few years of my life. The oil prices just kind of tanked, and I was like, ooh, and I knew that I was about to get laid off, and so I needed a new career. And one of my buddies was in sales, and he said, hey, with your personality, you should try this. And by the way, I tried it. I loved it. Loved going out and visiting with people one-on-one and helping people solve problems. And that's what a really good salesperson does. So I spent almost a decade doing that, and I got really good at it. And because that technique was so useful, if I were visiting with somebody that was having a specific problem that I could help them solve, then I would, in my head, I'd be thinking, okay, who have I worked with in the past that had a problem similar to this that I was able to help them overcome that problem? And once I was able to tell the person I was talking to two or three examples of folks who had done what I suggested and who had had a great success with it, it was much easier. It took a lot of the risk out from them trying something new. And so the process worked really, really well. And I got so good at it that it became kind of second nature to me. And then what was funny was that when I started the Leaders Institute back in the early 2000s, for a short time, I was working with a leadership coach in Dallas. He and I were partners for the first couple of years that I was in business, by the way, this guy that I worked with was a fantastic coach. He was really good at helping people get to higher levels of success and everything. He still does this in Dallas, but he was also a really successful consultant. So he was really good at being able to go out and visit with people one-on-one, find out what their challenges were, help them come up with great solutions and stuff like that. So I learned a lot from him in the short time that he and I were partners together. But on one occasion, he and I were meeting with a man who owned an electric equipment company. It was a company that manufactured and sold equipment for the electrical industry, for electricians and that kind of thing. And we ended up showing up to this guy's office. We were doing a consulting call with this guy, and we showed up about 20 minutes early for the meeting. And I opened the car door to try to get out, and my partner he kind of grabbed me by the elbow, and he said, "Hey, wait." He said, "Who have we worked with recently who's in an industry similar to this?" Because this was kind of a unique type of manufacturing industry. And so he wanted to kind of think about it before we went. And I had to think about it, and for about a second or so, but I came up with a couple of individuals that we had coached that were in a very similar industry. And he shook his head, yes. Oh, yeah, that's great. And then he kind of built on that. And in the next 25, 30 seconds or so, he came up with like another six, which folks that I had forgotten about, you know, they weren't fresh on my mind. I wasn't really thinking about folks, even though these particular folks that he kind of came up with, even though we'd both worked with them. Anyway, so the neat thing about it was that as we went into that consulting call, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks exactly why he had done that. About halfway through the meeting, he was inserting these examples, example after example after example, into the conversation. And he just wanted to make sure while he was sitting in the car that he could pull those memories of great content to the front of his mind. And I learned a pretty valuable lesson that day is that even though I'm really good at coming up with stories on the fly, if I kind of take a few minutes before I go and speak with an individual or with a group of people at a specific company and think about specific challenges that they might be having and ways that I can help them overcome it and how I've done that in the past with other customers, then it really helps me do a better job at consulting with these folks. And so what I started doing was, it was funny because when I was asking this guy after it was over, I kind of complimented him on that. I said, "Man, that's awesome." I said, how do you come up with all those? Because I have my own technique for remembering stories. And as soon as we finished the meeting, he pulled out this, it was like an old beat up little tiny notebook, you know, one of those that fit in the palm of your hand that have the rings on them. You know, it was like, I don't know, 37 cents at Albertsons or whatever, you know, so it was one of those kind of things. And it was full. He had a ton of examples and stories in there. And I went out that day and actually got my own. And that's what I was used for quite a while until, you know, the smartphones got really, really good. And one of the things that has happened, especially in the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, probably since smartphones were even invented anyway, is that every smartphone has a note app preloaded onto the home screen. When you actually turn on the phone for the first time, the little thing that looks like a sticky note or a notepad is going to be there, that icon. You click that. Most people just kind of either delete it or shove it into another spot on their phone. But I would think that a lot of you that are kind of like me, those preloaded apps that come with the phone, they're still on there. And you just kind of click on that, and it makes it really easy to make notes on the fly. And I've been doing that for the last, I don't know, 8 years or so, I guess. So the note that I have is pretty extensive because I never delete anything. I just kind of keep adding to the bottom. And so I can scan through that and come up with stories that I've forgotten about, things that once I kind of refresh my memory, the details come back in a really, really vivid way. So I'll give an example of one that happened this week, and not sure exactly how I'll use this story in the future, but the thing that happened was that I was doing a team building activity for a military high school, military school in Florida. And it's a really fun team building activity where we do a murder mystery, like if you go to a murder mystery theater, except we train the people at that school, or that we train the people that are hiring us to come in to actually be the actors in this ordeal or in this story. And so we go in and we pretend like we're doing a real team building classroom program where we're actually doing teaching. But as I'm up teaching, weird things are going on in the background, and it's interesting as it kind of unfolds, because it's just a lot of fun. It's one of those things. It's our murder mystery. Anyway, but the thing is that the hilarious thing that happened on this particular one a couple of days ago was that, as I'm scoring it, the way that we keep track of the activities that they do is that at the end they get a score sheet, and they're able to catalog who they think the murderer is, why they think the murderer did it, what evidence that they've collected as a result of their investigation over the last hour. We also give them a bonus for any additional crimes other than murder that they come up with, and we kind of make it really funny. So I think at one point we added up all the highest possible score that a team could make is something like 67. With all the bonus points and everything, is about 67 different points that they could pull in. And as the instructor that I was there with, he and I kind of split up the score sheets, and I was doing half and he was doing half. And it took me like 5 minutes to go through one, because they got almost everything correct. I mean, they were in the highest level of score that I'd ever seen. And I've been doing this particular thing for about a decade now. And so they were really, really high. And so I complimented them on that during the closing, as we were kind of revealing who the winning team was. And when I kind of mentioned that one of the teams had just aced the scoring and everything, a lot of people in the room started to chuckle. And then one of the guys just under his breath said, well, yeah, it's because they have John on their team, right? And I didn't know who John was, but it very quickly became apparent who John was. And in the next couple of seconds, you know, while I'm still on stage leading the event, I kind of looked at John and said, so you've got some experience in this area, John? And he laughed and he said, a little. He said, I was a homicide detective for 22 years. And he came to me after the event was over and kind of shook my hand and everything. And apparently he was, in his entire career, he had investigated 22 homicides, and he was 22-0, 22 convictions out of the 22 homicides that he had investigated. So it was interesting. It was one of those things that was kind of totally different than what I would have been expecting in that particular activity or event. And again, I have no idea how I'll actually use that, but in my presentations in the future. But just cataloging it makes it to where I'll be able to remember those details in a fairly vivid way. So catalog your, you know, get a notepad or use the notepad app on your phone to catalog stories as they occur, or experiences or successes or challenges or funny stories that you come across. Any of that kind of stuff can be very helpful. Another good technique, by the way, this is not in your show notes, but one of the things that you can do is go back and look at your social media posts, especially if you happen to be, like if you travel a lot, like I do, a lot of times I'll be on the road and I'll post images of where I'm at and what I'm doing. And that helps me recall different activities or different things that, that occurred during, during that moment. So that can be very helpful as well. So the one of the easiest ways, by the way, to catalog these stories is to share the success stories at your team meetings. And this is what I was talking about earlier, where I said this is one of those real secrets that if you do this, it will help you not only remember your stories, but it can actually help you improve morale and you know, around the office, because they're when your team members are really sharing those success stories, it can be very helpful. Like for instance, when my team members get together, we always kind of start with the meeting with good news. Now, granted, sometimes it takes a little bit of prodding. You know, for instance, at our next meeting, you know, the one that's probably going to occur tomorrow, then I might start out the meeting by saying something like, "Hey, so last week we taught programs for DuPont, Fidelity, Marvel, Fort Sam Houston Army Base, Chorus, which is a company in Canada, a preschool, a military school, and a high school that was in California, and also the University of Illinois at Chicago. So who's got some great news this year?" You know, so basically what I'll do is I'll prompt them by talking about some of the clients that we had on the schedule, and then we open it up, and a lot of times folks will kind of remember something as a result of me kind of giving some time to think about the incidents. Now, sharing these stories, by the way, help in a number of different ways. So first, the stories help build morale, and that's really one of the best things that these stories will do for your team, because many of the team members that are going to be listening to the stories at the meetings are going to be folks that work really hard for your company, but they may not get a chance to see the actual end user experience, whatever it is that you do. And so a lot of times if we don't tell them about the success that our customers are having, then sometimes they can kind of feel like we're taking their work for granted, or they may see that their work isn't as important. But when we show them how these success stories really depend on everybody pitching in and doing the things that they do, it makes it a whole lot easier for them to feel good about what we do at our companies. By the way, the second reason why, or second main benefit anyway, is that no one's going to tell the world about your successes if you don't do it. So, yeah, I mean, we like to think that our customers are going out and just out of the blue sharing our successes with their friends. And I would imagine that a lot of times they do, but we can't hope that that's going to happen. We want to kind of prompt it a little bit by talking about our successes a little bit. And it's not really bragging. It's basically sharing with the world some of the successes that we've had so that other people can have similar successes. And that's really what successful companies do. So there's a lot of successful companies out in the world, by the way, who have phenomenally successful, but there are companies that very few people have ever actually heard about. They've never heard of these companies. And it's because they keep their success stories to themselves. So just keep all this in mind. So just the thing that you want to keep in mind about this particular podcast is you don't just want to remember stories from your life. I know that's the title of this, but it's not just about remembering. It's about telling those stories. So the point is that it's just not enough to remember them. You have to go out and tell your audience. Your audience will learn from your successes and from your failures. And when they do, they don't have to spend as much time trying to figure out that road to success. Your stories will help them get there a whole lot faster. So we're going to start a new series next week. So make sure, and if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, make sure and do that. And we'll see you next week on the Fearless Presentations podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.